Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics every single week. We will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. He's going to tell you really wonderful things because he sees you the way he created you. But he's also going to bring revelation and correction and direction to help you become who he sees you as. Amen? So it's like actually true faith, and we have the conference January 26th. We're going to really, really jump into what real faith is. But real faith is having a vision of what you don't see yet. In other words, so God sees us the way he intended for us to be. That's how the Father sees us. So he sees us minus what the enemy's done to make sure that what he intended doesn't happen. Amen? So God has perfect faith. And so if we recognize that the Father, the Bible says he knew us, you know, he knew us in our mother's wombs. He knitted us together in our mother's wombs. And he knew it. In other words, he had a picture of us in his heart before he ever created us. We're not, as people say, an accident. We're not made incorrectly. He knew what he was doing. He's this awesome creator. And so when he decided to make human beings, he took extra special care. Actually, he created the whole earth and the environment to put his favorite into, which was human beings. And he created the whole earth and the world. You go in Colossians, but he made all these things as something wonderful that could exist in the atmosphere of the earth. And so sometimes you need to really get how big God is. He's not even close. There's no comparison in strength between the devil and God. Do you get that? The devil is nothing more than another creation that God made. God's the creator. You can see him. He's gigantic. He's amazing. And he in his artistry chose to make human beings in his likeness and his image, male and female, he made them. Amen. And so he didn't make a mistake. He didn't give you the wrong eyes or the wrong nose or the wrong skin color or he's just very creative. And he doesn't see things the way we see things as fallen people, where we judge everything. In a fallen world in judgment, you would say if somebody this is what they scientifically say makes you think someone is good looking. It has to do with how far apart their eyes are. It has to do with everything being lined up in this perfect way. Yeah. And if everything's lined up in this perfect way, then our human brain with a judging attitude says, oh, they look really good. Why? Because they look like they're in order. And so go look, you'll find people that you automatically think, oh, look how good they look, or they're so good looking. And it has to do with that. But God doesn't see things like that. He sees things like, oh, this would be so awesome to have this person like this, and have this person have this, and have this, and give this person a great sense of humor, and have them have this. And he's an artist. You know, he's a creator. He's amazing. Everything creative comes from him. Satan is a created being. He fell from one, if not the highest positions in heaven of anything created. And he fell in disgrace because he got puffed up and began to touch God's glory. He began to give himself credit that belonged to God. So Satan wants us to have that kind of pride. He wants us to try to take God's place in our own lives. And that's the whole idea of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Always trying to figure everything out. And how do I do this? And what do I do? And truthfully, that is because man decided to be in charge instead of God being in charge. We know God is really seriously in charge. But when we get born again and Holy Spirit comes inside of us, now we have a way to cast down imaginations. Now we have a way to agree with the mind of Christ, because we literally have the mind of Christ in us with Holy Spirit living in us. And we have the Word of God to guide us so that we can tell, okay, yeah, this is in Scripture. This is how God sees things, so that we don't go into deception. Amen? So you need to see what God says about you. And so from the minute we're conceived, Satan hates us because we're in the image of God, and because God has really chosen man to rule and reign on this earth. And Satan was thrown out of heaven, and he's now in the heavenlies over the earth. So we have to realize that there's this very extremely jealous and angry spirit who has a lot of demonic power, and he wants to destroy whatever God has made. He just wants to destroy it. He's like having a temper tantrum. You threw me out of heaven, well, I'll show you. And so sometimes we get so caught up in this big battle between good and evil. And the truth is that battle's been won. But now we have to choose whom we want to serve. We need to choose that. We need to make that decision. And then the whole thing that we do here, especially on Tuesday nights, is being sanctified, getting the evil out, led by the Holy Spirit, using His Word, convicted by the Holy Spirit, so that we can agree with God that, oh, that doesn't belong in me. This isn't true. And I just encourage you, you know, going into 2020, which is just a couple months away, make this the year that you're going to see yourself the way God sees you. And you're not going to let anything that the enemy is doing in someone else come in and identify you. Amen? And that you're really seriously going to see this wonderful Father God who loves us and created us in His image and His likeness. So if we say, oh, you know, I'm ugly, then you're saying God is ugly, because He created you in His image and His likeness. And we've got to realize we're seeing things through a fallen world. We're seeing things through the perversion of the enemy. And we've got to just ask God to help us, you know, help us to see us the way You created us. You know, we live in a culture that if you're in another country and everyone, like, let's say when I go to Uganda, no one thinks twice about being black in Uganda. Right? They're not bitter and angry that they're in black skin in Uganda. So for those in America who are angry about being in black skin and trying to prove something, then it has to come from the culture, right? It has to come from where Satan did something generations ago and still doing to make someone hate themselves. But let me just wake everybody up to the reality. There's people who hate themselves from every single nationality, every single social level, every single... And so we've got to get rid of the poor me thing completely, no matter, you know, what our color, what our age, what our gender. You know, we have to say, you know, I'm not going to identify ever again with what Satan came in to pervert. I'm going to identify with what God says about me. And I'm going to forgive those who should have identified the way God would have them identify me, but they didn't. And they've wounded me. And I'm going to thank God that He came to heal the brokenhearted places. He came to heal those areas where Satan came in to hurt you. We've got to decide and make the decision to believe God. When I make the decision to believe God, what am I doing that's actually a practical way to walk out the word? What am I doing? I'm choosing to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When you read the word of God, it's the reality of a believer who has decided that they're no longer going to live like a fallen human being and believe what the enemy says about us or what the enemy says about the world or anything else. And so I renew my mind, right? I renew my mind so I can tell myself, this is what God says, and he is not a man that he can lie. And then the Holy Spirit takes it from being legalism, which brings death. The Holy Spirit takes and puts life in it and says, let me work this in you. Let me teach you to love yourself. Let me show you where you were wounded. Let me come in and do this work. Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit make up God, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit make up God. All together, they're God. And there's God the Father, who has his Father's heart, who sees us in this perfected stage that he knows can happen, because that was his vision from the beginning, okay? Then we have Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came in flesh to pay the price to set us free from the enemy, from fallen man. Jesus came and proved that Adam and Eve and you and I did not have to agree with the devil. He let go of his deity when he came in flesh to prove that Adam, that's why he's called the second Adam. He's called the second Adam. In other words, he came to conquer where the first Adam failed. It'll be very interesting in heaven to talk to the first Adam, right? Now, when we're born again, we can't go back and point at the first Adam, right? When we're born again, we are different from the world. If you are truly born again, you are not who you used to be. You seriously are a new creation in Christ. If you're just religious and you embrace Christianity as your religion, then you're still lost. You're not a new creation in Christ Jesus. And then you can go through, that's why the Bible says the word, the letter of the law without the Spirit brings death. Amen? So basically, you're deceived. You're deceived if you're trying to live out the law, but you don't realize this is not about you living out the law. This is about you being born again by the Spirit of God, getting the mind of Christ, having his word that you can read and agree with him. And so I just want everybody in here, those watching, and this will go to probably, you know, at least 10,000 to 60,000 people when we post it and put it out there. And so I just want everyone who hears this to make a decision. You get to make the decision that I am going to 100% believe God about who he says I am, what he says in his word about me, what he says he has for my life, and I refuse to come in agreement with the enemy anymore. So that's a decision you have to make. And one thing you have to do is you have to be led by God. You cannot continue to let people who are given over to demonic oppression, whatever, label you and control you. You need to rise up in Christ. You need to rise up in Christ, amen, and get God's wisdom. So let me see if I can find this part he was showing me. I was in the book of James. I was asking the Lord, I mentioned this a little bit, and God did a powerful inner healing on Sunday morning that you can no longer find on the internet, so maybe we'll do it again tonight. But I was talking to the Lord, and I was like, Lord, I never can remember not liking myself. I mean, I had some of the normal stuff, like I wish my nose wasn't this big and I wish I looked more like this and, you know, that kind of stuff. But in my heart of hearts, I can never remember not really thinking that I was really pretty good. And then I realized I had been really rejected by an authority figure who should have done anything but rejected me. And I know we talked about this a little bit, I don't know, Sunday or whatever. But we don't have that on the internet, so we need to get this teaching out there, okay? Plus, we're going to go in a little more detail. So I'm thinking, okay, I didn't know you, God, when I was rejected from probably conception on until God brought a healing between me and the person who rejected me. And this person even came right out of their mouth that they hated me. And now I'm a grown woman, and this is somebody who was supposed to love me. And at first it was like, how did you handle that? Well, you know, it was confirmation for what I felt most of my childhood. Even though there was a lot of this person trying to overcompensate for that. And so there was a lot of good things. Plus, I have a big family. So if somebody's going to reject you and buy a lie that they hate you, that's okay, because there's other people who are gonna nurture you. But I'm thinking to the Lord, how could I like myself so much when somebody major in my life rejected me so strongly that other people, their friends would know, people in the family would know, and that things were twisted a lot of times that make everything my fault. And it was like, why did that not bother me? And then I'm thinking, Lord, most of the people, a lot of the people, Beauty for Ashes, when they get rejected like that, you know, they hate themselves, and, you know, you got to go and minister to them and make them know how much you love them and build them up and all this. But Lord, that's kind of not what goes on in my head. It never has. When I say I never really received that rejection as truth. But I didn't have you, Holy Spirit, to teach me that. So obviously there's something wrong with it. Remember we talk about mountains and valleys? Valleys, I call valleys the ones that received that rejection and those lies and internalized it and believed it. And mountains are the ones that whatever comes at them, they take it and say, no, you're wrong. And they internalize self-love. What does the Bible say? In the last days, people will be lovers of self. There's scriptures that say, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. These are the scripture God would give me. Don't think more highly than you than don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. You know, and then the valleys look at the mountains and think, oh, I wish I could be like them. I wish I was that. Boy, I wish I had all that confidence or whatever. And then the mountains sometimes will say, oh, I wish I wasn't in trouble with my big mouth so much, or always getting people angry or mad or whatever, you know. And, you know, they just get to be quiet and nobody, everybody likes them no matter what. Or the other way around, I'm glad I'm not like them, and I'm glad I'm not like them. So these are all the contention things, right? These are, we've got lots of teaching on this. You'd be surprised at how much of everything boils down to these lies. Of either self-love or self-hate. So I was asking the Lord about all this, and I didn't know, I didn't have an answer yet. And I was actually been reading through the Bible, so I was actually on James 3. So this is like a week or so ago. So James 3, my dear brothers and now this is, I was reading through the Passion Translation, which I don't usually use because it's a very good, I see it more as a paraphrase because there's, or at least an amplified version. There's a lot of added things and most of them are really on target and really revelation insight from the person who translated the Bible into this translation. But you know me, I just want to see what they said in the Greek and the Hebrew. I want it real simple, and I want revelation to come from the Holy Spirit. And I read the others, though, sometimes just to get some more meaning, especially if I'm studying Old Testament. And sometimes if you look at the Amplified in notes, it gives you some of the background and history without having to go study it all. And so I'm like, so I didn't even realize I was on that translation. And it is a good translation to build you up. You will hear a lot of the prophetic teaching that's out there today. Some of it I don't agree with, but you'll see it in there. And some of it, you know, a lot of it I do agree with. So it doesn't matter what I agree with. It matters with what does the Bible say. That's why I like the literal. So anyway, so I'm starting to read. My dear brothers and sisters, don't be so eager to become a teacher in the church, since you know that we who teach are held to a higher standard of judgment. We all fail in many areas, but especially with our words. Yet if we're able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way. And that means our character is mature and developed. Horses have bits and bridles in their mouths so that we can control and guide their large bodies. And the same with mighty ships, though they are massive and driven by fierce winds, yet they are steered by a tiny rudder at the direction of the person at the helm. And so the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it carries great power. Just think of how a small flame can set a huge forest ablaze. And the tongue is a fire. The reason I'm not going to preach on this isn't the topic for tonight, but you can go. We have a lot of teaching on the power of your words and the tongue and from James, from the book of James. But I just want to get to this one part, but I like to hear the whole thing up to it. And the tongue is a fire. It can be compared to the sum total of wickedness. So the wickedness in your heart is going to come out in your words. Now, if you've learned to suppress your words, then it's going to be mainly jumping around your thought life. But if you put voice to those thoughts, you would see the wickedness in your heart. To the sum total of wickedness, and is the most dangerous part of our body. It corrupts the entire body, and it's a hellish flame. It releases fire that can burn throughout the course of human existence. For every wild animal on earth, including birds, creeping reptiles, creatures of the sea and land, have been overpowered and tamed by humans. But the tongue is not able to be tamed. It's a fickle, unrestrained evil that spews out words full of toxic poisons. And, you know, I really encourage you to get this. When you speak to other people, your tongue is very capable of being used by the enemy to release poison. And I just pray that we ask God to forgive us for releasing poison, that any way that he can show us and help us get free from it and help us to go and bring healing, to pray for people to be healed that our mouths have sent forth poison. And to really hate that we can be okay with speaking things that Satan's behind. When he's behind something, it's poison. In other words, its intention is to bring death, okay? He goes on, he goes, we use our tongues to praise God our Father, and then we turn around and curse a person who was made in his very image. Out of the same mouth we pour out words of praise one minute and curses the next. My brothers and sisters, this should never be. Would you look for olives hanging on a fig tree or go pick up figs from a grapevine? Is it possible that fresh and bitter water flow out of the same spring? So neither can a bitter spring produce fresh water. If you consider yourself to be wise. Now this is where God started getting me. I've taught this so much. You know if you've really changed by your words. Not words you suppress. By how you think. And out of your heart and out of your thoughts, what you release. If you're speaking more encouragement and more life and more, and if you're really maturing, that is actually going to show it more than how many times you sign up to do the nursery, although we appreciate that. And how many people can, some of the people who used to serve the most, once God gets them free from man-pleasing, you hardly see them to help out at anything. So it may look like a mature believer, but it actually could be a man-pleasing spirit that they just want your approval, so they're going to come and help. I tell the Lord, Lord, can't we let some of these people get some of the work done around here that needs to be done before we set them free from man-pleasing, and then they don't even show up for stuff? More like, no, you're just going to have to trust me and pay what you have to pay and do what you have to do. But there's a lot of people in church who are actively serving because of a man-pleasing spirit and not a maturity from the Holy Ghost. But then there's a lot of people serving that is a maturity from the Holy Ghost. Amen? All right. Now, here you go. Let me first read it to you in the literal, and then you'll see why God had me go here to find it. For me, for this teaching that's not me only. In the literal, it says, who is wise and knowing among you? Let him show his work by his good behavior and meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and contention in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. For this is not the wisdom that comes from above, but it's earthly, beastly, and devilish. Where jealousy and contention are, there is confusion and foul deeds. Sorry, ooh, that scared everybody. But the wisdom from above is first truly pure, peaceable, forbearing, yielding, full of mercy, good fruit, not partial and not pretended. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for the ones making peace. Now that's the literal, okay? Now focus, the literal, if I had read this, I would never have gotten to this revelation, not this way anyway. Who is wise and knowing among you? Let him show his works by his good behavior in meekness of wisdom. Now the translation that God used to zap me, and remember, before God gave me this, I literally, before I went to sleep that night, because I got up in the middle of the night and started reading, that's when I read in the middle of the night, and before I said, Lord, show me how I handled the kind of rejection from authority, and I don't feel like I've ever not loved myself. I don't feel like I've not ever thought, I've always thought I was pretty good. I don't understand, not that everybody else thought that, but I did. And I've been really happy with that. And I thought, but I'm realizing there's something wrong, or because it didn't happen by the Holy Spirit. And let me just say this, as we walk with God and as he matures us, isn't it cool that a lot of this stuff, even before we can like put our fingers on it, he's dealt with, amen? Or what he's done and produced in our life and fruit over, if you want to say, overrides the damage that for me, for example, the damage that self-love could have done for me as a minister is over, it's overridden by the real fruit of the Spirit, the real work that Holy Spirit has done, the cleansing, the changing me, the trials I've walked through, the counting it all joy. You see what I'm saying? And so when I preach this, it's not always going to like a horrible person, bad person, good person. That's all judging anyway. It's got to be this big picture. And you've got to see that, because otherwise people aren't ready for God to deal with their heart issues, because we've done everything our whole life to hide this, even from ourselves. Amen? But you'll know the fruit of peace. You'll know the fruit of being able to, there's no one that can get to you anymore. There's no one who can make you upset. If somebody can make you upset, it's in you. And it's amazing how much, and I know it's with me, how much, if you want to say, mercy you have for people who have the wounded place you had and things that are still in your life where other people are so mad about it. I can't stand the way he talks. I can't stand the way they do this. And you're like, oh, no, I think it's kind of funny. Or I get it. You know, why is everybody picking on him? You know, I'm talking about the president right now. And it's like, but then you realize the Lord starts showing you. The people have strong self-rejection and self-hate. They get really bent by somebody who embraced self-love. Who do they think they are? Well, who do you think you are judging who they think they are? Because people who embrace self-hate and low self-esteem are just as evil in their thinking and their judging as the boastful, bragging ones that they want to point at and point it out. Can I get an amen? We're all in this together. Amen. Woohoo! Thank you, Jesus. And God and Holy Spirit is so merciful to keep working with us and working on us and changing us and drawing us to Christ and healing us, especially when we finally just jump into this work of sanctification and say, okay, let's just do this thing, God. And believe me, it's not a weekend project. Because you know what? We couldn't stand it. We couldn't stand to see that much stuff in one weekend that we allowed in our hearts, or the enemy snuck into our hearts, or generational curses. All right. Now, so from that, let me read it again so you can see the difference, because I've read this. Who is wise and knowing among you? I say, well, kind of me, Lord. Let him show his works by his good behavior in meekness of wisdom. Now, I get now meekness of wisdom. Meekness, remember, is complete dependency on God's strength, okay? Moses was weak. Jesus was very meek on the cross. But you don't, if you really look at Jesus' character and personality, you don't see him as what we consider a weak person. He was very bold. I mean, he got right in the faces of the leaders of the day and called them, you know, dogs. I mean, he called a woman a dog. He called the leaders, was it white? Hmm? vipers and, yeah, you know, graves and all this kind of stuff. So he wasn't this that people like to portray him as. You know, he had this extremely grounded and real personality that revealed what boldness looks like, that revealed what anger that's not sin looks like, that revealed what meekness looks like, that reveals what gentleness looks like. You know, if you want to go, you can't just take one or two pictures of Jesus and decide. You've got to look at the whole thing, amen? And truthfully, that's what we need to do at other people's lives too. We need to see, you know, how are they with their wives? How are they with their children? How are they with strangers? How are they with someone hurting? How are they when they're ministering? Amen? Instead of that one little picture we get that we judge. Can I get an amen? Same thing about somebody who just seems so quiet or whatever, but you know, what when they're talking with somebody one-on-one led by God, how are they dealing with their children? You see what I'm saying? God's made us different. But all of us glorify him when we let his spirit reveal him through us. All right. Okay, so this one says, who is wise and knowing among you? Let him show his works by his goodness and meekness of wisdom. Okay, but this one says, if you consider yourself to be wise, and one who understands the ways of God. And he's not saying you don't. He's not saying you're not wise, and he's not saying you don't understand the ways of God. He's saying, now this is his translation. This is very different. This is one situation where it's very different than the translation in the literal, right? But God still uses it. Isn't God cool when he can have you put the wrong Bible, not the wrong Bible, but the wrong translation from what you're used to reading in the middle of the night on to kind of wake you up to a scripture that you've seen over and over so he can deal with you? Isn't he amazing? So if you consider yourself to be wise and one who understands the ways of God, I said, well, that's me, Lord. No, I was like, ooh, are you talking to me, Lord? And already I'm thinking, I'm waking up like, okay, I asked you that question, like, how did I handle this stuff? Advertise it with a beautiful, fruitful life guided by wisdom's gentleness. I'm thinking, I know I've never read this in there before. But God's like, keep reading. Never brag or boast about what you've done, and then you'll prove that you're truly wise. I'm like, okay, Lord, I do boast, and I do brag, and I boast mainly about what you've done through me, and I brag. But my whole life, I've bragged. My whole life, it's like, look what I have, look what my dad does, look who this, look at that. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I need to find out what this is. Because I was bragging and boasting, you know, since I was young. And some of you are like, gosh, I've never boasted. Yeah, because you've never embraced, a lot of you never embraced that you had anything to boast about. But yet you're made the image of God. So there's a lot to boast about for his glory. Amen? There's a lot to boast about. But it's for his glory. That's the difference. Paul's very clear. He says, let my boasting only be in what God has done through me. So God wants to take this boasting. Now, that's not the boasting it's talking about. This is not the boasting this particular person who translated this is talking about. He's talking about a boasting that people say, I'm so spiritual and I know God and I walk in God, but you're bragging and talking about it, but where's the fruit of it? And this is the Lord saying, Cindy, there's a lot of fruit in your life. And that's good. Yay. And I know that. I said, but why are you showing me this bragging and boasting thing? And he's like, well, keep reading. I said, okay. But you know how I love when God starts talking to you, you kind of get that serious thing with him, like, are you talking to me? Like, did you have to put, I said, I've never seen this in there before. Then I went back to the other translation. He goes, yep, go back to this translation now. I'm like, okay, bring it based. I'm thinking about, you know, people really come against the president and other people who are successful who do all this stuff. I'm like, okay, Lord. All right. So I said to him, even before I got to the next verse, I said, Lord, I've been talking to you about this whole parenting issue. And that I know because of what the enemy did, that I was really rejected. But I've always felt fine. I've always liked myself. I've always felt good about it. I just really, I mean, I'm not gonna say if I had to pick between the two, but I think probably feeling pretty good about yourself probably beats the people who are depressed, suicide, and hate themselves. But it's still not freedom. Amen? It's still not freedom. And it's gonna cause people to reject you. When you walk around holding a spirit of rejection of poor me, it causes people to want to come enable you and take care of you and nurture you because poor you. In other words, it could cause someone to get a nurturing, like they've got to help you, they've got to rescue you. It's codependency. They've got to be the one to, and eventually those relationships usually have so much pain in them because one person's trying to get a need met to be important and caring, and the other person is trying to get somebody to care about them and take care of them. And yet, because the enemy has a lot to do behind it and not freedom in Christ, not the love of God, it causes, it could look good, but it causes a lot of bondage. Amen? Everything Satan does is bondage, so just know it. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, Lord, show me the connection between my question of why do I feel really okay about myself, but I was so rejected that just based on rejection and based on what I've learned doing this ministry, why did that not bother me? And yet you're showing me a fruit in my life of boasting and bragging. And then the Lord connected the dots and he said, well, you embrace self-love. When you didn't receive the love you should have received, unconditional love from somebody in authority, let's say a parent, when they didn't know how to give that to you. And you've already learned, hopefully you've learned to forgive them, separate them from the spirit, really forgive, right? Isn't that teaching powerful to help you walk through this stuff? Amen? But when you really get to the place, you've got to get to the place, but you've got to see if you took self-love, and one of the keys to self-love is boasting and bragging. And let me say, it doesn't mean that what you're boasting and bragging about isn't true. It just reveals that the enemy has you looking at you. Look what I've done. Look what I do. Look what I have. Look what I've accomplished. Look what, and you could be someone that other people look at and think, I don't see anything for you to boast about, but this spirit will still have you boasting. And you could be somebody who has everything in the world to boast about. And yet it's going to cause you to be rejected because it's coming from a wounded place that says, I have value. Whether you see it or not, I see it. Instead of the other thing Satan does is, I don't have any value. They don't think I have value. Therefore, I really don't have value. So I've either got to act like I have value or live this life bitter. Amen? Are you getting this? And I want to do this. I know the Lord brings in a lot of people here who don't have the boasting thing. They have the self-hate. And God set a lot of people free from it. I want the self-hate, the people bought that lie, to begin to understand the self-love lie and how both of them are perversions of the enemy so that we don't become who God wants us to be. Amen? Amen? And not be impressed with either, but want to be who God wants us to be. So I'm sitting there in the middle of the night going, okay. And I didn't totally have this completely figured out yet. So I'm watching a TV show when God was really making all this hit home last Monday night, not this Monday, a week ago. And it was so funny because it was a competition going on. And one of the people in the show kept boasting the whole time. Mine is the best. I did it the best. I don't see how the judges can't pick me. There's no way they can't pick me. And the person didn't win. And they were like, and like put the foot in the mouth, and then another person won, and so the whole time I'm having this conversation with God, when I got to this part of the conversation, I'm like, that person's irritating me, and I'm like, this person's gonna be so embarrassed when they don't win. And truthfully, I don't like theirs the best, doesn't mean they're not gonna win. They did do a good job, but it was irritating me. So I'm going, Lord, you're really talking to me. Can I show you how cool God is? You can be reading the Bible, watching a game show. This was on HGTV, so it was like different builders competing against who did the best rooms or something. Isn't God cool? See, we gotta quit seeing God so religious. God wants to talk to us all the time. He is amazing. And he knows how to bring home a point. For one thing, he's saying, I don't really mind that you're watching TV while you're reading the Bible and we're talking. Now, he might mind for you if you're not paying attention and walking with him, but he doesn't, you know what I'm saying? But he's like, you're not being religious. I know you just got that on, but we're gonna do something with it this time. And I'm sitting there, and there was a person lost. And I thought, I feel so bad for that person. Because I can have compassion there. But some other people who have took on self-hate would be like, I'm so glad they lost. Man, it's a good thing they lost. They didn't deserve to win. They just bragging. And everybody can hear what's going on in politics today in America. And God wants us to be people with compassion and mercy and get the logs out of our eyes. Amen? Get the logs out of our eyes. And so I'm watching this. God's showing me this. I still haven't made the connection yet. And that's when the Lord said to me, you handled it by taking on self-love from the enemy. And the very next line, and this would be true in both translations. If there is bitter jealousy or contention, he calls it competition, hidden in your heart, quit denying it. Don't compensate for it by boasting and being phony. And so that's when I'm like, bitter jealousy. I really don't feel like I have bitter jealousy. The Lord said, well, there's no way for you to have handled the jealousy from this person who admitted, who treated you different than they treated some of your siblings and showed favoritism to some and rejection to you. That is always going to cause a root of bitterness, because it's going to stir up jealousy. Can I just say, all of us, unless we have really godly parents led by the spirits who are really whole and healthy and walking with God, have the same two things sown into us, bitterness and the love of money. I'm going to take care of yourself. I'm going to prove I can prove this or that. Amen. It's so funny how you can look at our politics right now and actually see the devil behind so much and how he's using these things, right? It's amazing. So we just really got to get free from a political spirit, but we got to get free in our own hearts so we can have compassion to pray for unity. Amen. So is this making sense to everybody? And so I'm like, oh my gosh, God. And if you read, when I read it in the other translation, which I'll go back to now, I never saw any connection with that there at all. So that was kind of cool for God. Isn't God cool? Isn't God cool how he will set you up? And I'm talking to someone else and I'm ministering to them before all this, which is where it was a mother issue thing. And then it hits me, gosh, I don't know how I handled my issues with different people in my family. And so I know I've forgiven. I know you've made it right. I know there's been healing, reconciliation, and a great relationship now, thanks to God. Praise God. Amen. I know I'm not angry or hurt. I know it's total forgiveness. I don't even think about it. I'm just really, really enjoy this person for the most part now in the relationship. Thank God, right? This is an awesome thing right before Thanksgiving to be teaching. And then I thought, oh my gosh, Lord, you can look at your kids and see which ones were boasting and stuff about everything. And say, oh Lord, did they have jealousy? Is there contention? Is there something there? And then, man, I'm getting this right now to go do some praying in or healing over my kids. Amen? Aren't you thankful for God? Aren't you thankful the Holy Spirit wants to heal these broken places? If you have bitter jealousy and contention in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. So Remember, bitterness always goes back to blaming God. Why did you make me like this? Why did you put me in this family? Why did you, you know, why do I not look like them? Or why? It's the why questions, okay? The real why questions that you don't go to God and get real answers for leave you with bitterness. We won't understand. No, I'm going to understand. God's going to teach me his ways. Amen. He's going to teach me his ways, and I'm going to understand it. I'm not just going to let bitterness in and blame God for what the devil's done. And I'm not going to just, by God's grace, I'm not going to have bitterness to come in and destroy my relationships with people. But sometimes it has to go real back deep to say, you don't realize that you were bitter here because of jealousy. Now, when you take on self-love, you always say you weren't jealous. Why? Because you're superior. In this whole thing of competition and contention, you're the good one, or you're the smart one, or you're the talented one, or you're the gifted one. You wouldn't want to be them. That's contention. And when you take on self-love, you actually take on a spirit of pride, or a spirit of thinking more highly of yourself than you should. You take on something to focus on your gifts, to focus on the good things you have in your life, to focus on how God made you for his glory, but you now embrace it for your glory to feel okay about yourself and to compensate for where you were rejected. Does that make sense? And so you become self-focused, and you become, what's the one thing, Lord, really even self-consumed, and what was it when I taught, self-absorbed. You become self-absorbed, and all of a sudden, the enemy does this on purpose, you guys. He wants you the center of your world, and then you want to orchestrate everyone around you to make you feel okay about yourself. So even if you take self-hate, you're still the center of the world. You're still the center of the world, and then you want to feel everybody to feel sorry for you, or help you, or why don't they understand me? Or you see what I'm saying? You're still, everything is seen through you. And that's the enemy does with this. He does this so that you continually focus on you. And what they did to me, and what they said to me, and how this hurt me, and how this happened to me, and how bad this was for me. Me, 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 me. And over here in Self-Loveville, it's like, who needs them? Look what I've done. Look what I can do. I don't need you. I can run. I can do this, whatever. Do you see? They're both two different extremes of what the enemy does when we get rejection, especially from parents. And then if you have one parent who rejects and the other who doesn't, then you got, there's a lot of different, let's see, there's a lot of different varieties of this, right? So it's not like, it's not going to always look the same. Somebody could have like another parent who didn't reject them. And so they could be pretty healthy and pretty whole, but they still have that bitterness. You see what I'm saying? And then, but you could have somebody whose dad wasn't even there. Come on. If your dad's not there, it's full rejection. And then if somebody's parent dies young, then they feel that rejection, even though they know when they get a little older, the parent didn't mean that unless they killed themselves. And that's like the worst. You want to really mess up your kids or somebody who loves you, and you let the devil cause you to kill yourself? Then you just released rejection and abandonment in a mighty way against those people who are left here to deal with that. And thank God the Holy Spirit can deal with it. Amen. Amen. But everybody hides it and plays it. I'm so sick of all that mess. It's time to really get free. Amen. It's time to really get free. I finally embrace that I'm called to heal the brokenhearted. Like, that's the major call in my life. I've run from that call for 30 years. So it's about time I finally embrace it and just start doing it more. Amen. It's like, what's the repeated pattern of gifting? Healing the brokenhearted. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. But I want to do this. I want to heal. And I'm believing God's going to have me do some of the other things. But one thing's for sure, his decision, his choice was like, no, you're going to heal the brokenhearted. And I'm going to give you revelation and wisdom and understanding for my purposes and my glory to heal my people as you walk this out. So I'm cool with that now, finally. How many years? I've always liked it okay, but I kept thinking, Lord, you don't even hardly hear anybody doing this kind of ministry. But it needs to come, amen? It needs to come. All right, so I'm sitting there. This is so funny. I'm watching the woman on TV who's boasting and bragging and this and that. And I'm sitting there talking to God in my head because I'm watching this. I read this, and God's telling me it's self-love. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't feel it, okay? I don't feel any hurt place in me, crying out, feeling that rejection from my childhood. You know, I just don't feel that broken thing in there. And I said, so Lord, if it's in there, you're going to have to really heal it and show me. All of a sudden, tears start coming out. Like, I have no emotion with it, just tears are coming out. I'm like, okay, this is pretty wild. I'm sitting here watching a totally not sad show, and tears are coming down. I just asked the Lord to heal me and to show me if there's a hurt place in there that I don't know about. And here I'm sitting here crying, like, you know where your voice is, you're like, it's like just tears, like, I'm like, okay, God, this is interesting. Obviously, we hit on something. And then the Lord healed me. And then he said, you know, and I'm going to just restore you into the most awesome relationship with the Holy Spirit. We talked about this on Sunday, but that teaching isn't out, so I have to share it a little bit for those who are going to watch this. Holy Spirit is the, you can really start understanding transgender mess when you recognize that our God is a heavenly Father, but he reveals himself through wisdom as a female, and he reveals himself as a many-breasted one and as a nurturer, right? And the attributes of the Holy Spirit have a very many feminine attributes. But he said he made us, God said he made the male and female in his image, right? And so we've got to get above the thinking down here and get into this real place. But anyway, you can begin to kind of see how God could set some people free from some of that. If they're trying to be both. Or there's just all kinds of ways to see why somebody could be taken into a self-hate and then want to create themselves led by the enemy. You know what I'm saying? That's where we need to have compassion. None of this is funny. It is so sad when somebody has bought such lies. And what people don't realize, when they start to try to make their child through bad counseling or the media or whatever, or just wounded places in them, when they try to make their child become a different sex than they are, thinking they're being helpful based on today's ridiculousness, they're really rejecting them more and more. They're rejecting them as a male or rejecting them as a female. When they bring that dress out to go along with them, they're actually, instead of embracing and healing that hurt spirit of rejection, they're actually intensifying it. Makes sense, doesn't it? It's amazing how spiritual stuff really, really, really is very logical. Amen? And hopefully some counselors will get a hold of this teaching and use it to really set people free. So if you would go back and heal that spirit of rejection and find out that not even spirit, really, it's a root of, spirit of rejection, root of bitterness, and go in there. No, everyone who has deep-rooted bitterness, the deeper that bitterness, the more they hate God. The more they hate God, they hate the one who created them. That's why you see people running around so weird and wicked looking and evil. These are hurt people who have bitterness sown in them, and the church needs to bring the answer of healing to that. Amen. So I said, here's a cool thing. So I say to the Lord after, I said, okay, Lord, you know, I get this, you healed me, but why was that not affecting me more? And that's when he said, Cindy, you've been walking with me for all these years. You gave yourself completely to me. I've healed all these things. This is just that edge in there, that hurt place in there, that I just had to go on and get this part out. Whoa. So that your boasting will be on what I'm doing and who I am. And if you look at Paul walk through that same kind of journey in the Bible. And you can see in his teaching where he goes from being the greatest of the greatest to less than the least of the servants. And he means it, because all of a sudden he's seeing through God's eyes. Look at all he had. Look at all the teaching. Look at all the influence. Look at everything he had. And yet look what he did. And he realizes, Lord, I'm worse than any of them. Where he at first was the greatest of all of them. Amen. And so we need to pray these things. When we see people boasting, we see children boasting. Now, okay, get this, people. Heart conditions are not things to change the behavior of and think it changes the heart. You deal with the heart condition and the behavior changes. You don't reject somebody more because they're boasting, or you don't reject somebody more because they're shy. Amen? You ask God to show me how to bring healing to this. And you ask God to bring healing to you first. Get the log out of your eye so you can go and deal with this. I will say this, since the Lord and set me free in this, he's been really set me free from stuff. This has been a fall of, Lord, doing more fine-tuning. Amen? I love it. I have really learned to be so thankful for the Holy Spirit. So thankful that he loves me enough to not give up on me. So thankful that he is perfecting me to be the bride of Christ. So thankful that he will continue to do whatever he needs to do and bring me into situations, no matter how painful and coming up with conflict and different things. Count it all joy, amen? So that I can be perfect, lacking nothing. How cool is that? Amen? Because he wants me to be who God has designed me to be. That's all he wants. That's his calling. Jesus came to die for our sins. Amen. Jesus came to die for our sins and to pay the price for sin and to preach about the kingdom. Holy Spirit comes to enforce the revelations of the kingdom and make them real in believers' lives as he sanctifies believers and gets the evil out so that he's preparing them to be the bride of Christ. Isn't that cool? I mean, he's not like, anyway. I don't even like his presence. I want Holy Spirit. Amen. I want the Holy Spirit. I just tell the Holy Spirit, driving. I said, you know, Holy Spirit, I've talked with you some when I was learning it, but it was much easier for me to embrace the Father because of how my Father was. And it was very easy for me to embrace Jesus, the bridegroom, because John is a wonderful husband. God's working on all of us, but overall, I know that I'm taken care of. I know that I'm loved. I know that I'm protected. As much as a husband can protect you, you know, and God comes in and fills in all those areas where John can't. Amen? And that's what I tell people. Look at what God has, the gifting and the part of God that person represents, and quit trying to make them into what you think you need, because all you need is Christ. He says he's the husband to the one without a husband. He's the father to the one without a father. He basically takes care of letting you know. And he knows the Holy Spirit lives in you who can nurture you. Amen? God's got this thing, people. He's got this thing. We just have to yield ourselves to him and humble ourselves before him and let him do this work. And quit judging everybody. Quit judging yourselves. Quit thinking more highly of yourself than you ought, and quit thinking more lowly of yourself than you ought. Just quit thinking about you. Think about Jesus. Think about who he is. Think about how wonderful he is. Ask him how he wants to be glorified. Ask Holy Spirit how to glorify the Father. Ask Jesus how to prove more, show him that you love him, because he already loves you. Amen? Just give your lives to him. Just give your lives to him and let him do this work in you. But Satan really sets up fortresses to stop us from walking into this kind of freedom. I mean, he really, really wants us to try to be fake. He really wants us to be one thing around some people and at home, somebody different and somebody else. You can tell where you're really at when you're around people who you feel aren't going to leave you. And if they have left you, You probably have a, that's why divorce is so painful. Because you talk about a rejection of someone you didn't think would leave you. And you need to get healed from this stuff. Don't make jokes about it. There's nothing funny about a divorce. It's extremely, extremely demonic. A divorce is extremely demonic. It's not an easy answer, and let's just get on with it. People try to act like that in our culture. It's not true. What God brings, when two people come together in intimacy as one and begin to build their lives together, and what that represents in the kingdom of God and how God intended it, it is one of the most painful and harmful things when the enemy is involved in that and destroys it. And to pretend it's not is another place where you probably have bitterness and jealousy and boasting and bragging. Is everybody having fun yet? God wants us to go deep and get healed. Not just put the Band-Aid on it and act okay. Lord, and it's just like the kind of time I'm sharing with you how God does this stuff. It's not always, it's usually not probably at a weekend seminar somewhere or whatever. It's going to be a walk with a true, powerful, loving God. And as you begin to trust him and you begin to believe him and you get rid of your guards, because the guard's like, nobody's coming close to my heart again. Well, you just told Holy Spirit, I don't want your help here. No, Lord, I'll humble myself. It's like, how could you say all that if people all over... Truthfully, people all over the world, we're reaching up to 60,000 people. For real, I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you, on Facebook Live, this will go to 60,000 people in about 10 different countries. And we'll get a lot of response. Most of it will be good, because people aren't used to somebody sitting there saying what they're already hurting and feeling and giving answers for it. Amen? Bitter jealousy and contention work together. If you're competitive, I'm so competitive. No, you're contentious. The two words go together. What does contention mean? We have teaching on this. Trying to be superior, or feeling that you are superior, or trying to prove that you're not inferior. Satan has set up in our nation entire people groups, whether it be women, whether it be African Americans, whether it be Latinos, whoever. He has set up the whole thing full of contention. Our whole political system right now is based on antagonism and contention. And people aren't seeing things correctly until they get healed. Until they get healed. We don't walk on eggshells around here. We smash them. Well, we're not a really big church. Well, a lot of people don't like the eggshells smashed. But then the other people want to be free. This word is so powerful. So many people just skim over this. This isn't stuff to skim over. This is deep, deep, deep teaching that was important enough that God had his true apostles write it down and have it preserved in what we call his word, his holy word. Amen? This is what needs to be examined and looked at and dealt with and realized God wants to set us free. So he wants you to see something. When you have bitter jealousy and contention, when you're a competitive person, and deep down, it's hidden that there's bitterness, a bitter root. Why didn't God fix this? Why does that person hate me? Why, whatever those whys are, that causes jealousy. See, people who feel superior don't think they're jealous, because in their thinking, they've won. I'm just being honest. How can I be jealous of you when I'm superior to you? I don't want to be you. I want to be me. You see, do you see self-love is a counterfeit of God's unconditional love coming in and setting you free to love yourself? Amen? I mean, the scripture is so clear. A husband cannot truly love his wife until he loves himself. And he cannot truly love himself until he gets free by the Spirit of God of self-love and or self-hate. So really, truthfully, we ought to have a lot more powerful meetings for people who are planning on getting married and for our youth, instead of what they watch on TV and call that preparation. Amen? Or a lot of hidden knowledge. Does it make sense to everybody? Like God just wants to go deep and heal us, go deep and heal us. And when we don't let that happen in the church, then we see the church become anemic, which is what we've seen for a lot of it. All right, he goes, when you have bitter jealousy and contention in your heart, you're actually going to rise up with a boastful spirit against that truth. And he's like, stop. Because that contention, especially when there's self-love, is going to jump up and say, I don't agree with that. I don't see it. I just don't see it. Because I like, well, stop and see this. My word is true. And you sometimes when you let these enemy in such a way to make you feel good about yourself, then, and it's not that you really feel good about yourself, but you don't know the difference because it's all you ever felt. Does anybody get what I'm saying? I know it gets deep. It gets a little, you just have to trust God in his word. You have to trust God in his word that there's boasting and bragging here. Therefore, you put this here. Therefore, it goes to bitterness. Dang, I didn't think I had any left. And jealousy and contention. Lord, I thought we dealt with that. And it looks like you have dealt with a lot of it, but you never went back to this because you handled, you took in self-love. Let me say this. Self-love can get so demonic that it goes into where people can't get free from pornography, or they can't get free from the whole cross, the whole transgender thing is a strong counterfeit of self-love. I'm going to love myself. I'm going to create myself. I'm going to make myself. They don't need anybody else. I'll just say this. The nasty, unclean, foul thing that supposedly our culture says everyone's supposed to be participating in, and they want you to look at pornography to participate in it or have filthy thoughts to participate in it, it is a symptom of self-love. The entire thing of lust, the entire thing of trying to catch somebody, and it's all part of this whole demonic self-love. And I'm going to tell you what, this, I'm praying God raises up some men in this place who are going to be able to help people get free, because I don't like talking about this stuff with men. I don't like talking about it with women, but I certainly don't want to talk about it with men. But we got to go deep and find out. You can't just say 80% of men in the church have an issue with pornography and walk away like that's normal. You need to say, well, then we need at least one man in the church to find deliverance and freedom for real and understand how to set the others free by getting the log out of their eye. Amen? But when the Lord started showing me this, and if you look at the list of the end time, where's the thing? Where's that list where it tells you the end time? 2 Timothy. Know that in the last days, grievous times will be upon us. Men will be lovers of themselves, money lovers, bragging, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural feelings, unyielding, slanderous, without self-control, savage, haters of good, betrayers, reckless, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They'll have a form of godliness but deny the power of it. Turn away from these people. They'll come into your homes, leading silly women captives, heaping up sins, being led away by different lusts, always learning, but never able to come to the full knowledge of truth. Anyway, goes on and on, and it just gets so foolish. How many know that we're actually living in a time when it's so foolish, none of us could have believed 10 years ago what we're seeing on TV is normal now, what they're showing us on movies, what they're showing in commercials and things like that. You know what I'm saying? It's just like unbelievable. One good thing about me doing these teachings so long, I don't think they check everything I say, because there's just no way I could be putting all this stuff out there. Probably because I don't say direct words all the time to get me. So I'm like, Lord, just get it to who needs to hear it, however you have to get it out there. Amen? But if you go back to James 3, you just got to see this. Isn't it amazing how much is in this little tiny paragraph? I'm amazed because I've read James 3 for years and never saw this before. It goes on. When you have bitter jealousy and contention in your heart, and you try to cover it up with boasting, even though you don't know you have it. You're lying against the truth by the fruit, you'll know it. It says, this is not, so then your wisdom does not come from above, but it's earthly, beastly, even devilish. For wherever there's jealousy and contention, there's going to be confusion in every foul deed. If you live in a situation with foul deeds, unclean deeds, if you live in confusion, how many can see how many medical conditions would be connected to all this? I mean, the Lord's like, we need to undo this. We need to unravel what the enemy has done in human beings and recognize Holy Spirit is in there to do this work. I mean, yay for worship. You know, I love it. And I love, if you were here Sunday morning where we did the offering, I got so drunk in the Holy Spirit. That was like the most fun offering I've ever had in my life. I don't know if any money came in, but man, it was a really good time. I mean, I know how to yield to Holy Spirit and have a great time. But honestly, yielding to Holy Spirit to be made holy, I prefer that in the sense of it changes everything. It's how you know you're not in deception. It's how you know that you're gonna that he's bringing you to everything he's promised you. Amen? It changes everything. So we need to say, Lord, I don't want wisdom that's not from you. Because there's a wisdom that's earthly, beastly, devilish. And it comes because there's jealousy and contention. There's going to be confusion and foul deeds. But the wisdom that comes from God is, first of all, truly pure. So when somebody's counseling you, or if you're counseling somebody, you need to stop for a second. Is this wisdom pure? What's pure going to be? It's going to line up with God's heart and God's word. It's going to have the kind of faith that God has. Amen? It's going to have the heart behind it of God. And God is not a respecter of persons. And God doesn't think you're the great one and they're the horrible one. When you still think you're the okay one and they're the messed up one, you still got some bitterness. You need to deal with some issues. Amen? God doesn't compare us to one another. He says it's not wise to compare yourself. The only person who can be changed, no matter what, is the person who chooses to ask Holy Spirit to change them. And if you get changed into his image and his likeness, then nothing can steal your peace, your love, your joy. It's like the enemy loses all authority in your life. It's amazing. So God's wisdom is first of all pure. Then it's going to bring peace. Forbearing. God's wisdom has you hanging there for the long haul. God's wisdom will have you put up with quite a bit in love. Now, scriptures will tell you what he doesn't require you to put up with. But other than that, he will give you grace. His wisdom is yielding. You will humble yourself. You will say, okay, not out of fear, but out of, oh gosh, you're really going to have me humble myself here. Our media, the news, the media, even the church, a lot of it doesn't even begin to teach young couples or even older couples how to hang in there. Or how to raise children to know they're loved. We just really need to get back into the Word of God, but by the Spirit of God. Amen? God's wisdom is full of mercy. Full of mercy. Mercy means you did something really wrong and you deserve to go to hell. You deserve to be hated. You deserve to never have anything good happen to you again for some people. And mercy says, but God. But God can heal them. But God can set them free. But God can turn this to good. But God can use this for his glory. Amen? Mercy is what he wants us to be. Mercy triumphs over judgment. God said, quit judging them and be merciful. Amen? Y'all are quiet tonight. God's wisdom is full of mercy, and there's a lot of good fruit to it. It's not partial. It doesn't think one way for the Democrats and another way for the Republicans. Can everybody say, ouch? God's wisdom does not say one thing for the Democrats and another thing for the Republicans. It doesn't say one thing for somebody you like in your family and another for somebody you don't care about. Okay, that's not wisdom from him. That's your judgments. That's your leaning. God's wisdom has no partiality. And this part's powerful. And God's wisdom is not pretended. God's wisdom really comes from walking with him, talking with him, knowing him, being led by his Spirit, and you're going to believe that he can do things the way he says he can do things, and you're not going to give up on that. It doesn't mean you judge other people who don't want to walk in that kind of faith. It doesn't mean you call other people's life decisions or you hold it over their head if they don't have a victory. Amen? It means you just walk in the wisdom God gives you and you trust God with people. You can't control people's lives. You don't tell them what to do and not do, unless they're young children. And then you trust God. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for the ones who make peace. So I'm just going to see what Holy Spirit wants to do. Whew, I can feel his presence. You know, we're all called to be ministers of reconciliation. Do you understand what that means? When you have the Spirit of God living in you, you are not to be divisive. You're to be someone who brings reconciliation. And the first thing is you want people to be reconciled to God. Your prayers need to be about them being reconciled to God. Your heart, not codependency. Okay, sometimes you've got to let the prodigal go and just keep praying and believing. Not enabling them to go to hell. Okay, sometimes people have to hit the worst pit because of their sin and pay the consequences for giving into evil so that their soul might be saved. The Bible says some people are snatched from the flames of hell, barely make it into heaven. It was biblical, and it's still biblical, to turn people over to the devil, to let him do everything he can to destroy them so that they'll turn back to God. That's not codependency, people. That's love. That's love that says, God, I can't do this. This person is just not living for you. They don't have anything to do with you. They're full of demons. And I'm just giving this thing to you. I can't do it, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe you. I believe before they die, they're going to want you as Savior. And look at the bigger picture. See, only Holy Spirit can know which is what and how to do it. That's why we got to get healed ourselves. We got to get so healed ourselves. We cannot project our pain onto other people and then minister to them as if they're us. Amen? That's not true ministry. That's, I'm still bitter. I'm still hurt. I'm still angry. And then I project that on to whole God's brought in my life or whatever to help set free. Real wisdom lines up with God and his word. Amen? Real wisdom lines up with God and his word. But like we've done before, two things can look, God can say, you know, keep them there and love them and do this and, you know, these kind of things. I'm going to win them. And God could say, do that, right? To somebody who's a mess. God had one prophet go and marry a prostitute and bring her home. So we can't look at something and just know if it's God or not. You can't look at the fruit of it and know if it's God or not. The prodigal son came home and gave his life to God. There was a fruitfulness in the Father sending him away with his inheritance, right? We need to hear God. We need to walk with God. We need to get free from believing the lies of the enemy and hear what God is saying and do what God is telling us to do. Nobody was ever intended to take the place of God. A prophetic word by somebody who prophesies over people is not to take the place of God. So does anybody have any questions? Does it make you know, oh, I've got to go and spend some time with God? Raise your hand if you know you got to go spend some time with God. Yay, that's real ministry, amen? Real ministry isn't let me come up to another altar call and fall down and hope somebody else got with God so I don't have to. Now, I'm cool with God setting people free and healing and deliverance and all that kind of thing, amen? But think about the day when you come up and you've already spent that time with God. And you've already known. And then when the power of God hits you, it's so you and him can have a party. A celebration, not just there again, Lord, please let this be the moment of healing. Amen. He is a healer. You get all this heavy stuff out of you and you'll be surprised how healed you'll be. I'm not kidding. God wants Satan to have no place in us, none. So Lord, we're just going to come before your throne right now. Whew. Whoa. Oh, gosh, Lord, you're so good. He's so good. Holy Spirit, we just ask for those who are here and those who are watching. Lord, those who are watching in Uganda, those who are watching in India, the Philippines, oh, Canada, Lord God, Brazil, Peru, Lord God, those who are watching in Kenya, Lord God. Father, those who are watching in Israel, those who are watching in the United States, the UK, the Ukraine. Father, all these places that we're reaching with this healing message, Lord, I just ask right now, Lord, that they would have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Right now, I want you to take any person who came to your remembrance during this teaching tonight, whether it's a mom or a dad, grandparents, an older sibling, whether it's yourself with your own kids, whatever it is that God showed you tonight, especially in the area of mothers, especially in the area of being rejected by a mom. We have teaching on being rejected by a father too, but and the Holy Spirit can do all of it. Amen. I want you right now to say, Lord Jesus, you've never rejected me. My Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit has never rejected me. Forgive me for letting bitterness get into my heart when people have rejected me. And Lord, break the power of bitterness that have gotten into hearts of people that I've hurt, of people that I've rejected. And I hear the Lord right now, he's staying on this for a second, because some of you think that person just deserved it. Ho! And the Lord said, as long as you feel like that, then you really are walking in unforgiveness and superiority. And I just hear the Lord saying, he's not asking you to compare yourself to that person. He's not asking you to evaluate that person's good things and bad things. He's not asking you to take his place as judge. But he is telling you that you need to forgive them, and you need to blame the enemy for what he did using them, and stop 100% blaming them. Unforgiveness is causing sickness in your bodies. Unforgiveness is setting you up to not be able to love. Unforgiveness is hindering your prayers. Unforgiveness is setting up assignments of the enemy to hurt you and destroy relationships you care about. Jesus Christ died for the sins of that person. He brought his Spirit to bring healing to the wounded places in that person. That person is wounded just like you were wounded. And they wounded you and you wounded them. And God says, quit being the judge on who wounded the worst, but begin to be one who brings reconciliation. If the Lord's speaking to you, it could be about a brother, a sister, it could be about a parent, it could be about a spouse, it could be about an ex-spouse, it could be grandma, anybody, it could be teacher, anybody. Right now, though, whoever, Holy Spirit, reveal to the people hearing this who it is that there's still bitterness. There's still bitterness about it. There's still, oh, just a deep, deep wound. And I just see the Lord, I just seen somebody, it's almost like, it's kind of a gross picture, but it's like they were married and there's like a saw in their hand. There's like a one of those big saws with, I guess, handles on both ends. And like, so instead of God bringing you together and joining you, the enemy did things in your life to make it more like putting that saw there. And it was contention, and it was codependency, and it was expectations instead of looking to God, whatever it is. And I just see that saw, and every time you push that saw towards them, it cut them, but then they'd push it towards you and it cut you. And every time that evil thought came, it cut them, and then it cut you. And the Lord said, it was just, it's this equal cutting, people. It's this equal destroying. And I just see the Lord walking now between you and whoever these people. It could be a sister, it could be a parent. This is like an ongoing, or it was before in a past relationship, an ongoing just pain, pain. just overwhelming thoughts of, why did I do this? Why am I in this? What's, you know, if they would just, and I just hear the Lord saying, quit the why. The why reveals bitterness. And I hear the Lord saying, I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to solve this for you. You did it because Satan set you up and Satan set them up. You did it because you didn't know how to yield to me. You did it because you already had determined in your heart what was right for you. When I'm the only one who can order your steps and it be right for you. You did it because you were so jealous and envious of that brother, that sister that got favor. You were so jealous of that friend whose parents loved them and you thought yours didn't. And I just hear the Lord saying, hand me your part of the saw. I want you to see yourself handing him your part of the saw. And I want you to see yourself stepping back from the saw. And I want you to say, Father, I forgive them. They didn't know what they were doing. And I forgive myself because I need to forgive myself because I didn't know what I was doing. And I need to see that I was doing what the enemy wanted me to do. And I forgive myself because I need to forgive myself. I break the power of thinking I didn't need forgiveness. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. I want to be made whole. Lord, I put that person in your hands. Lord, I pray that you get that saw out of their hand. And I pray that you heal the wounded places that my relationship with them caused. Whew. I'll say to them, Lord, I ask that right now. Like for my personal self, I'm seeing, I never asked that this sincerely for that parent who I had such contention with. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you heal those places and that I never ever take that saw in my hands again. And Lord, that where a few of us would get on one side of the saw and attack the one person, God, I ask you to forgive me and I never want to touch that saw again with any of my siblings or anyone else. I walk away from it in Jesus' name and I ask that everyone be made whole. Some of you need that same thing. Just take a second and see that. Take a second and talk to God about it. Whoa. Whew. I want you to even get to the place, say, Lord, I hope that they make it to heaven. Not in a judgmental way, but in a sincere, Lord, I really want to be friends with them in heaven when they've been made whole. If there's anyone that you absolutely could not stand to see in heaven, you need to go deeper and deal with this. His blood covers their sin. Amen. His blood covers their sin, and unforgiveness keeps you bound to that sin. Unforgiveness is worse than what happened to you. Unforgiveness affects your future relationships more than what happened to you. Lord, thank you for loving us so much that you absolutely will not put up with unforgiveness. You absolutely will not pour out your blessings until we forgive. You absolutely allow a wall between us and you when we don't forgive. Forgive us, Lord. And we forgive completely. Lord, we ask for grace to forgive completely. We ask for grace to forgive even the worst of the worst. We do not want that heaviness. We do not want that kind of superior judgment thing. God, we just ask for mercy. And Lord, we forgive. Now set us free. heal us. Break the power of vengeance. Lord, break the power of vengeance. Break the power of my ever wanting to see evil happen to them. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I put it in your hands, Lord. Thank you that what they need to find you is what you're going to bring them to. Whew. I break the power. Y'all need to be an amen and are saying some of this. I break the power of any demons ever released into situations because of my tongue, because of my hurt, because of unforgiveness. I cancel those assignments. I break the power of that witchcraft right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, make this real. Make this real in my life. I ask it in Jesus' name. I ask it in Jesus' name. Wow. Now, Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would begin to heal people, that you would heal them with a nurturing love of a mother, that you would heal them with the protective, strong love of a father, that you would heal them right now, Lord God, in every way, that your unconditional love, love with no conditions, would just saturate everyone hearing this right now, and that they would be made whole. And I speak right now in the name of Jesus that every wounded and hurt place from any of these things, Lord, that you brought to their remembrance would be made whole right now, that they would be made complete in Christ Jesus, that they would move into fullness in you, Lord God. And Lord, that all bitterness and jealousy would be destroyed in Jesus' name, and that all contention and bragging will lose its hold in Jesus' mighty and powerful name. And Lord, that we would boast, but about who you are and what you've done and how powerful you are. And Lord, that you would set us free from this contention. Wow. Lord, that you would make these scriptures so alive for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also, check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.